Leases almost always require the tenants to take the responsibility for their share of increases in operating expenses of the building. Oh my gosh, this is going to be fun today.
I know, riveting already, isn't it?
I'm Jan Gibbons.
And I'm Bob Gibbons.
And this week on the Confessions of a Recovering Landlord podcast, we'll discuss how to protect your company from the operating expense pass-throughs from your landlord getting out of hand. As always, let's start with a definition. What are operating expenses? What's included in them? And can you buy them on Amazon?
Oh, man, I hope not. Well, basically, operating expenses are all the monies required to run a commercial building. So that'll include common area maintenance, security, electricity, property taxes, insurance. The list goes on and on and on.
So I'm assuming the landlord pays those fees and then turns around, divvies them up amongst the tenants, and bills each one their pro rata share, correct?
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, I would say you're right. But you know what? You're the one that does the reconciliation reports for our clients, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, you just slaughtered that section really well. I wanted more of a for me.
All right.
I am the OPEX reconciliation gal.
Okay, so, yes. You're right. The grand poobah, as it were, of expenses.
Yes, that's the basic premise of how it goes, but there's a lot of caveats per lease written in the form that you need to be aware of.
True. Well, so it really depends on the type of rental rate and the kind of building we're talking about, right? So, you know, let's back up for a second on the definition. A lot of expenses that are considered common in an industrial building, that's a single-tenant building. Well, what's common? There's one tenant. There's nothing in common with other tenants, right? Whereas if it's two tenants in a building, well, now you have common expenses. You have property taxes, landlord insurance, maybe landscaping perhaps, maybe property management. So there's certain things that are going to be common in that situation. When you get into a multi-tenant office building, well, almost everything is common now. Electricity, water, gas, if there is gas, janitorial. I mean, it goes on and on. So it really depends on what kind of building you're in as to what is defined as an operating expense and how they show up on the statements from the landlords.
So how can a tenant protect themselves from expenses going up unreasonably?
Well, there's really two primary ways. I would say, number one, write the lease correctly in the first place. You know, that's really the get-out-of-jail-free card with almost any issue, is write the lease properly from the beginning. And then number two, check the landlord's numbers throughout the whole lease term.
Okay, so let's break that down. Number one, what should be in the lease from the beginning regarding OPEX?
Well, most importantly, a clear definition of what's included in operating expenses and all those things that we've talked about. But what you also need to be focused on is what's not in them. And so, for example, no ownership costs. Like if the landlord wants to get a new tenant and they have to spend money to build out the space for that tenant, that cost should not be in their passed through to the other tenants.
Okay, I'm a little confused. Paying taxes, paying insurance, that's a cost of ownership.
Right.
Why are you saying these ownership costs cannot be passed through? What's that line there?
Yeah, I mean, good point. There are costs required to just keep a building running for the benefit of everybody that's occupying the building and bringing in, you know, clients and employees. So those things are spread out across all the tenants. Now, you know, yes, you can have a lease where the tenant pays a flat number. Let's just say they pay $40 a square foot and the landlord pays all the other expenses. Well, it looks like there's just a flat number the tenant's paying, but realistically, the landlord's having to recover the cost of the expenses and a little extra to pay them back for their return on investment in the building. You know, you can't have a building that has $40 a square foot for rents and $50 a square foot for expenses, because that's not a building that's going to last for very long. So you know, ownership cost are those things that an owner has to pay to get new tenants in the building, or that are associated with their own, like, for example, if they have to pay income taxes on the income they receive, the net income from the building. Well, that's a cost of owning the building. It's not something that the tenants should have to participate in, because, I mean, what if the building was owned by a nonprofit and there was no, you know, no taxes paid on that? So that's what I'm talking about. But then there should be a limitation on how much the expenses can go up in any given year. Now, that's what we call a cap on expenses.
Cap on what type of expenses?
Exactly. So there are some expenses that are deemed to be controllable and others that are deemed to be non-controllable. And
we know what non-controllable is. Government, taxes.
Yes, property taxes, insurance, mm-hmm. and utilities. Those are the three things that are undisputed as to being uncontrollable. And that, to some extent, is not 100% accurate, because you can do things to reduce your electricity consumption. You can do things to reduce your insurance. You can do things to reduce your taxes. So they're not 100% uncontrollable, but I've never had a situation where a landlord was willing to put a cap on those things. It's all the other things that we get into arguments about. We're in the middle of negotiating a lease right now, and this is one of the things we're arguing about. What constitutes uncontrollable? Because the landlord has this long list of stuff. Snow removal, if there is any.
I was just going to say my favorite is North Texas snow removal.
But it's a real thing, so I don't really argue that one much. I agree, fine, I don't have a problem with that. But then they want to go on and say, oh, and the damage to any landscaping caused by bad weather. Oh, and any other repairs and maintenance to the building caused by that. And, oh, if there's a government rule or law that is enacted that requires us to spend any money. And, oh, by the way, anything else that's beyond our control. It's just like this giant catch-all. And who wants to argue that down the line, right? So, you know, that's something that, again, needs to be negotiated and dealt with when you sign the lease. What's that cap going to be? We usually ask for a 5% cap on the controllable portion. Landlords obviously try to get that higher. Sometimes they'll say, well, we'll give you an 8 or a 10% cap. And I'm like, really? If you're that terrible a manager, you can't keep controllable expenses with an 8%, 10%. What good are you?
You know, go to another building.
You might as well not even give it to us. So, you know, getting a cap is definitely something you want to do. And then the third thing is you want to have the right to audit the landlord's books.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Don't get ahead of me.
Oh.
Now that the lease is written correctly, what should be done throughout the lease to check the landlord's numbers?
Well, I'm not getting ahead of you, because
commence with your audit.
If you don't have the right to audit,
true,
in
true.
The lease, okay. You can't do it later.
Right.
So unless the landlord just wants to be nice and play ball with you, right?
So I'm sorry, say that again. I just had a small seizure.
Yeah, I know. It's out of left field. Well, you know, I would say, so you asked me what should be done throughout the lease to check the landlord's number. So I would say the first thing is you need to review the expenses every year, regardless of whether you owe anything or not. So by starting off your leasing relationship this way, it basically puts the landlord on notice that you're going to be looking over their shoulders, making sure things are done the right way. And that's good. I mean, that's not a bad thing. You know, it's trust but verify, right? So you can have a good relationship with somebody and yet still verify that what they're doing is accurate.
You do
that.
Reaganize you.
Yeah. Well, you do it with your employees, hopefully. You do it with vendors, contractors, et cetera. So, you know, we review these expenses for clients all the time as part of our Riata Lease Track system. And this is what you primarily handle for us.
Hello, friends.
But you know what? That is what I would call a limited review. We're going to look at it, make sure the landlord did their math correctly, that it's consistent with the way the lease says it needs to be done. But we're not doing an audit. And an audit, if the lease allows you to have that right, is a full-blown audit where you're actually pulling out every invoice from the landlord and reviewing them and making sure that they're accurate. And, you know, this requires an outside firm. It could be a CPA firm. It could be, I mean, there are companies, like there's one called, I think it's CTS, and that's all they do is lease audits for companies. And so some of these leases are going to prevent you from auditing the books after a certain period of time. So you have to do it, you know, you get your notice and you have to do it within, you know, give the landlord notice in 30 days or 60 days or 90 days, whatever it is. And so you need to make sure you do all this in a timely fashion. The other thing is that the landlord often will require that you do this with somebody, whoever's doing the audit, has to be somebody who's being paid on an hourly basis or a flat fee basis and not on a contingency basis. Meaning if they say, come in and find that they, you know, there was $100,000 and you get a $100,000 rebate from the landlord or refund, then you have to pay 30% to this company. A lot of landlord leases prohibit that because they think that that's going to make it very adversarial and, you know, they're just trying to, you know, complain about every single little thing. I don't think that's any of the landlord's business, how those people get compensated personally. But sometimes it's hard to get that argued. Again, it depends on the size of your tenant. You know, the bigger the tenant is, the more power they have to demand these things, and the smaller tenants don't have that ability.
So tell our listeners about the times we've saved clients money and their expenses.
Well, there's been a few of these situations. You know, we try to encourage all of our clients to send these operating expense reconciliations. So just real quickly, the way that works is the landlord does a budget. Say they're going to do a budget at the end of 2020 for the 2021 year, and they notify the tenants, hey, this is how much we're going to collect from you throughout the year based on the budget. So that's what we would call deposits. They're basically collecting a deposit from the tenants every month throughout the year. Well, at the end of 2021, really in the early 2022, they're going to close their books and audit or, you know, reconcile everything. And, you know, let's say they thought the expenses were going to be $11 and it comes out to be $11.15. Well, they're going to send the tenants a bill for an extra 15 cents. If it came out to $10.85, they give the tenants all a 15 cent credit. So that's the way it works. So usually we're reviewing the reconciliations, meaning when the final numbers are done. There's not a whole lot to review when it's just a budget because, you know, who knows what it's actually going to be. We'll still review that too, but that's not usually where we save clients money. It's on the reconciliation. So we've had a few times where we had one situation where the tenant got a bill for like $4,300 or something, and I looked at it, and the numbers made no sense. It was like the property manager hadn't even read the lease. And I went to the property manager and I said, hey, I don't understand this. Help educate me. Show me how you did this. And she couldn't. She didn't really know where the numbers came from. And so at the end of the day, I said, well, would you give me your numbers? Give me your books and let me do it for you? Because, you know, I've been the property manager and the asset manager, so I know how this stuff works. And she wouldn't give me the numbers. And I was like, I don't know what to do with this. And I just told our client, I said, don't pay it until we get these numbers verified. Well, in the end, they finally came back to me and said, you know what, your client doesn't know anything at all. And I was like, oh, well, that's interesting. Why? And they were like, well, it just, you know, it didn't exceed the base year amounts or something. Well, what happened is they ended up hiring a property manager from outside the company to do all the reconciliations and make sure their numbers. And that property manager said, yeah, the tenant doesn't owe anything. What I found out later was that this was a property manager who used to work for me. And so I had to laugh. I mean, she didn't know I was involved and I didn't know she was involved, but she did it correctly. The bad news is the landlord still never gave us the numbers. So we still never were able to verify whether or not we should have been owed a credit, a refund, but they wouldn't give us the numbers. And short of getting an attorney involved, there wasn't really anything we could do. And that particular tenant did not have the right to audit, by the way. So that was a big problem. Another time we had a client who had a $13,000 bill. And after we reviewed everything and checked the numbers, and one of the big things that we often check, by the way, is the, and again, this is what you're doing, is checking to make sure that the cap on expenses is handled properly. And a lot of times they're not. And so that's sometimes where we have an issue. And in that particular case where it was $13,000, it ended up at $4,000. So the clients were pretty happy. You know, a big issue is when there's a change in ownership, because a lot of times changes in ownership are difficult where the new owner isn't able to get the books from the prior owner. So they can't verify what the base year was. They can't verify what, let's say they bought it in July. Well, they don't know what the first 6 months of expenses were. And so in some cases, they just have to sort of negotiate it. And I actually did this last year. We had a client who had a new landlord, and the landlord agent basically said, "Bob, I'm sorry, I don't know what the numbers are. I cannot tell you with a straight face what they ought to be. So we're trying to make educated guesses, and we're just going to have to negotiate it." And so we did, and the client was happy. But at the end of the day, it was just kind of, I don't know, it wasn't very professional, but there, when you don't have the information, you just got to sort of wing it at times and do what seems reasonable within the market context.
Yeah, I usually don't think the management company has evil intentions. They are just either not careful or not as familiar with the lease as they should be. And that's where we come in.
Yeah, that's where you come in. You're absolutely right. You know, even if the operating expenses look right, we always want our clients to forward them to us prior to paying them, just, you know, an extra set of eyes, one who's, you know, intimately familiar with the lease, of course, and looking at it never hurts. So, you know, property managers sadly often manage leases, manage properties as if every lease is the same. And that's not the case. When I was an asset manager, I had property managers and leasing agents come to me all the time, and they would say, "Hey, Bob, such and such a situation, what do you want to do?" My standard answer was, "I don't know, what does the lease say?" And they've never had reviewed the lease before coming to me with that issue.
Never be afraid to read your lease.
Exactly. Kind of like somebody you worked for that said that.
Brian Hudson. Never be afraid to read your policy.
That was an insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that was right.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Confessions of a Recovering Landlord podcast. At Rialta Commercial Realty, we exclusively serve companies that lease or purchase office and warehouse space. We never represent landlords. Find us at texastenantrep.com or give us a call at 972-677-0028.
Hey, again, that's texastenantrep.com. We'd love for you to come visit us there. Tell your friends, tell your family. Give us reviews and love. Bye.
Bye.